Welcome to the Ask Dr. Turner Radio Ministry broadcast. Prepare to be enlightened and empowered. Without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Turner.
Greetings and welcome. We are so delighted that you can join us for the broadcast. This is your co-host, Brother Fidel, sitting in for the Honorable Dr. Apostle LaTanya Turner and the prophetic Pastor D. Free. We bless you on today. I'm so excited about the word of the Lord that I'm going to share with you. But let's take a pause for sponsorship and ministry identification. This broadcast is brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. This is a ministry-minded, a missions-minded ministry built on prayer and built on giving. I cordially extend an invitation to you and yours, beloved, to join us for one of our dynamic, awesome services. Sundays at 12 noon and awesome Bible studies Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Once again, Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North, in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. As previously said, a missions-minded church, a church built on giving. And know that we here at the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast at Pure in Heart take prayer very seriously, and we continue to pray in the midst of this pandemic for you, our listeners, and your family. Take the opportunity to visit our website, AskDrTurner.org, where you can obtain a copy of the prayer CD, Holy Spirit Unctionized Dr. Turner to Record. It will be a blessing to you. And since this is an interactive broadcast, we would love to hear from you. Email your questions to Ask Dr. Turner, the number 8 at gmail.com. AskDrTurner, the number 8 at gmail.com. And if the Lord lays it up on your heart to be a blessing to this ministry, to this broadcast, you can do so via Cash App by using the $ capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. Once again, capital P, capital I, capital H, followed by the word church with a capital C. You can also write us at Pure in Heart, P.O. Box 26725, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Now, let's go to the word of the Lord. On the last broadcast, we looked at the subject, anointed to be holy. In other words, by way of a recap, we established the fact biblically that the purpose primarily for the anointing is that God would have a people, a separated people, who would live holy unto him. We came out of the book of Leviticus, and I want to stay in the book of Leviticus and speak to you from the subject, a people, or more specifically, the glory of God in the midst of his people. Now, Genesis is a book about beginnings and God's plan to redeem fallen creation, which included mankind or includes mankind. Exodus is about God delivering a people out of bondage in order to prepare them to commune with him and for the purpose of bringing forth Mashiach, the Messiah, the Savior, through their lineage. In the book of Leviticus, we see a priesthood established through the anointing. In this book, we see the different offerings the people were required to offer up before the Lord, such as the sin offering, the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, and the wave offering. We're in Leviticus chapter 9. Let's go to verse 18 and exegete some golden nuggets of wisdom in terms of God's interaction with his people. Glory to God. And see how God would even interact with his people in these present times. Now, Leviticus 9:18, glory to God. God is dealing with his people through his leader, his prophetic leader, Moses, and his first high priest, Aaron, and his sons. There is a great deal we can glean and learn from this for this present time and season, beloved, and the times and seasons to come. Now, verse 18 reads, he, referring to Aaron, slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. In other words, the high priest, being the mediator between God and the people, had to offer up certain sacrifice. Right? And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood. So here we see the importance of the blood in terms of the sacrifice. So Aaron was given the blood by his son, which he sprinkled up on the altar round about. The peace offering had to be offered because the sin nature in the people set them at odds with God. And without this type of offering, his wrath would be poured out. We can cross-reference Romans 1:18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, of mankind, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So, outside of the peace offering, beloved, sinful people will ultimately face judgment, will face the wrath of God. In verse 21, let's jump to it. We see where Aaron takes the breast and the right shoulder of the sacrificed animal and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses had commanded him to do. And his sons, glory to God, the commandment came from God to Moses, instructing Aaron concerning the wave offering. Allow me to take a moment to share the biblical significance of the breast and the shoulders, more specifically the right shoulder. Breasts biblically symbolize blessings, nurturing. God's name El Shaddai is associated with this. The online site HebrewForChristians.com has this article on the name El Shaddai. It says Jacob's blessing given in Genesis 49:25 indicates that Shaddai might be related to the word for breasts, Shaddaim, indicating sufficiency and nourishment, blessings of the breast and of the womb. In this case, the name might derive from the contraction of Shah, which means who, and Dai, which means enough, to indicate, beloved, God's complete sufficiency to nurture the fledgling nation into fruitfulness. Indeed, God first uses this name when he refers to multiplying Abraham's offspring, according to Genesis 7:2. Understood in this light, the name El Shaddai provides a picture, a marvelous picture, of God's nurturing love for our lives. God sustains us and loves us like a mother who loves her newborn child. Glory to God. Now let's look at the shoulder. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia has this definition of the shoulder. The meanings of the Hebrew words are rather varied. The first, Shechem, S-H-E-K-H-E-M, has perhaps the widest application. It is used for the part of the body on which heavy loads are carried. So, figuratively, beloved, the shoulders also bear responsibility and power. Thus, it is said of King Messiah that the government shall be up on his shoulder, according to Isaiah 9:6. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. Isaiah 22 and 22. Job declares that he will refute all accusations of unlawful conduct made against him in the words, "Oh, that I had the indictment," Job said, "which mine adversary hath written. Surely I would carry it upon my shoulder," Job 31:35. So take note of the fact, beloved, that it is the right shoulder that is waved, signifying strength and power and authority. Let's keep it moving. Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the priest offerings. Beloved, take a moment to open the eyes of your mind and let us visualize the beautiful picture of the high priest Aaron in the high place, offering these three offerings before the Lord on the behalf of the people as we prepare, glory to God, to take a look at how the Most High responds. And before we look at his response, think about our high priest and mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to be the sin and the peace offering for us all, that we may have the opportunity, glory to God, those who are not saved, to come to repentance and gain entrance into the kingdom of God. Notice before I mentioned three particular offerings, right? Three indicative of resurrection, glory to God, restoration, increase. So just think about this for a moment. Our mediator, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin offering for all humanity. Verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all people. So much richness here, beloved. First, Aaron the high priest blessed them. Then he joined with Moses, God's prophetic leader, to go into the tabernacle of the congregation. The tabernacle was the meeting place where the people went to have their corporate meeting with Almighty God. The modern day priest, beloved, prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher, must realize that he or she is chosen by God, anointed by God, not to lord it over the people, not to monetize their respective offices for fame, fortune, amen, and aggrandizement. Absolutely not. Anointed to be a blessing to the people. Because the people need not a mediator anymore, but because Christ, glory to God, is the ultimate mediator. But the priest, the prophet, the evangelist, of course, the pastor, the teacher, we have a responsibility where the church is concerned, glory to God, to help in the perfection of the saints for the work of the ministry, the advancement of the kingdom through evangelism, soul winning, and discipleship. So the priests, glory to God, are blessed to be a blessing. Let's look at the result of this. When Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle and came out and blessed the people, again, they didn't come out looking for an offering or some other blessing from the people. They came out and blessed the people, and because of that, beloved, the last sentence of verse 23 reads, "And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." No one was left out. Glory. That Hebrew word, kabod, meaning the splendor, the weightiness, the brilliance of Almighty God manifested, appeared unto all the people, precipitated by the high priest performing his function, by the high priest Aaron and the prophetic Moses working together in tandem, blessing the people, causing the glory, the splendor of God to manifest. Is not this the ultimate objective of why we have been called out of darkness, beloved, into the marvelous, glorious light of God, that the glory of God may not only appear unto us, but it may radiate, hallelujah, in and through us. And I love the fact that no one was excluded. No one was left out. God's prophet and priest blessed the people. And when they did, there was a magnificent manifestation of the glory of God. Let's pause for a moment for a ministry identification. You're in tune to the Ask Dr. Turner broadcast, an interactive broadcast brought to you by Pure in Heart Deliverance and Outreach Ministries International, a ministry, a church built on missions and prayer, missions and giving, located at 2851 Edgewood Avenue North in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And again, you are cordially invited to join us in one of our wonderful services. Sundays at 12 noon, Wednesdays, we exegetically go through the Bible in a homiletical correct fashion. Meet us there Wednesdays at 7 p.m. So again, no one was left out. No one. And we ought to meditate upon that. Beloved, God will not discriminate against anyone who receives the paschal offering that he has offered for the propitiation and for the expiation of sin. He gave this offering in the form of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to the world for the remission of sin. Those of us who are as modern day priests, glory to God, born again of his spirit, we must endeavor to let a lost and dying world know of the marvelous, awesome gift of Jesus Christ that Almighty God has given for the remission of their sins, so they can have access to his glory, irrespective, beloved, of color, creed, gender, educational, or economic status. The gift of God, the glory of God, is intended for all to receive. But there is a criteria, and the criteria is repentance. Glory to God. It is having a change of mind, a change of heart concerning a lascivious and licentious lifestyle. Lascivious and a licentious lifestyle. The blood has been provided. We saw how Aaron, glory to God, was given the blood by his sons to sprinkle upon the altar. Well, the Son of God manifested over 2,000 years ago, beloved, to shed his blood, to die upon the cross, glory to God. So those who have a desire to break free of the bondage of sin will have the ability to do so. When the glory comes, it is accompanied by the fire of God. In other words, you will never manifest, the glory will never manifest void of the fire of God. And when his fire comes, beloved, it is all consuming. This is why the sin offering is indeed for peace, peace with God. Remember this, because his fire will burn up everything it comes in contact with. When you are washed in the blood, sealed by his spirit, The fire does not destroy. It cleanses. It blesses. It consumes. Leviticus 9 and 24. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw it, what did they do? They shouted, beloved, and they fell on their faces. Once again, I must stress, I must reiterate now, this kind of all-inclusiveness concerning the people whom God had brought out of bondage. They saw the fire. They saw the glory of God manifest. Amen? This means the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient, glory to God, to cleanse, to appease the wrath of God, the judgment of God. So all who put our faith, our trust in Him, will not only be spared the wrath, spared the judgment that is to come, beloved, but will also dwell in His presence, dwell in the splendor, the kabod, the doxa, the brilliance, glory to God, of Almighty God. I love the response of the people when they saw the fire. They shouted and fell on their faces. My God, more richness. In other words, when God Almighty is pleased with the sacrifice, beloved, He will manifest Himself with consuming fire. Glory to God. Cross-reference Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, Deuteronomy 9 and 3, and also Hebrews 12 and 24, which all describe God Almighty as a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Let's conclude with the people's response to God Almighty's awesome manifestation in their midst. Again, when the people saw the fire, right? When they saw the fire of God as it consumed the burnt offering and the fat, they shouted. They did not keep silent. They shouted and fell on their faces. I think about in the book of Chronicles at the dedication of the temple by Solomon, David's son. Glory to God. When the Lord appeared and consumed the sacrifice, and the Bible declares that the glory of God appeared and the priest could not stand to minister because of the glory. Again, kabod, the weightiness of God came in. And beloved, this is what we need in our services. This is what we need when we congregate, when we come together, glory to God, and we offer up the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, because we know that we don't have to slay any lamb, right, anymore. We don't have to sprinkle blood on the door because someone has taken the place of the Lamb. What's His name? Jesus, the great I am. So we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, into the temple, into the tabernacle, and we should have an expectation just like that which manifested in olden times of the glory of God manifesting in the temple, whether it is the temple that we meet in the physical structure or in our human temples, which are the true temples of the Most High God, we should be filled and the glory of God should manifest, beloved, in and through us as the people who offer the sacrifice, because He will always consume the sacrifice. In other words, when we endeavor to sacrifice for the kingdom of God, when we endeavor to give of our time, energy, and finances, glory to God, to spread the gospel, to evangelize, to preach, to teach, to give, to help the poor, the underserved, we can expect the law of reciprocity to kick in. In other words, God Almighty will respond. Glory to God. So the people began to shout, beloved. The people began to bow themselves in worship as Almighty God manifested in their midst. And I truly believe as they shouted and they fell on their faces, glory to God. You know, the glory of God, when the glory of God comes in, you would have to imagine that there would be healing, right? When the weightiness and the brilliance of God comes in, that there would be deliverance, that there would be major breakthroughs in the midst of the congregation. So I believe just like in that time, when we come together as a people, there should be a time set aside during worship where the people are free. The Bible talks about shouting unto God with the voice of triumph. Remember, beloved, when they were getting ready to conquer Jericho, a city that was straitly shut up, the first place of conquest coming out of Egypt, God gave them explicit instructions concerning the shouting. And it was that God brought down the walls of Jericho through the shouting. No, we don't just shout to be making noise. Glory to God. We shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We shout the praises. We shout the worship of God. And we expect, hallelujah, to have a manifestation of the glory of God. So again, they were not just shouting for the purpose of shouting. They were shouting because they saw something wonderful, something marvelous, something awesome unfolding, and that is the glorious kabod, the fire of God. Falling on their faces, which represent a posture of reverence and worship, is an example to us how we should all adopt this particular posture. When we encounter his glory, his fire, we shout his praises and we shaka, glory to God, the Hebrew word for prostrating ourselves, or proskenuo, the Greek word for the same. Amen. We fall down, glory to God, in obeisance and in worship. Beloved, what a privilege, what a pleasure, what an honor it is to have the opportunity to bring the word of life to you on this dynamic program. Glory to God. And once again, I would be remiss if I did not remind you that this broadcast is Holy Spirit designed, beloved, with you in mind. And if you continue to go through some times of struggles as we're still in the midst of a pandemic, if you're feeling lonely, if you are feeling isolated, depressed, a sense of foreboding and melancholy, for even some maybe suicidal, I want you to know you don't need to suffer in silence. I want you to know that we are here to pray for you, to minister to you, to counsel you if necessary. Beloved, sometimes you just need a listening ear. Sometimes you just need to connect with someone who has a heart to intercede and to pray for you because you just feel so downtrodden, you can barely pray for yourself. If that is you, do not be a silent sufferer anymore. One of our intercessors is standing by to connect with you in prayer or counseling if need be. Call our prayer line now, 904-765-7600. Once again, 904-765-7600. God bless you. Shalom.
Thank you for tuning into the Ask Dr. Turner radio broadcast, a ministry of Pure in Heart Ministries. To learn more or to submit your questions to Dr. Turner, email askdrturner8@gmail.com or visit askdrturner.org.
We look forward to having you join us again next Saturday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Praise 107.9.